That's all there is to it.
And that thing came in it.
And that tells you where to send it if something goes wrong with it, only they probably won't fix it because I've got a General Electric they wouldn't work on. I'm still arguing with them about it.
Henry sent me this. This is a GE. I just discovered. In other words, I don't have to have a battery.
Not with it plugged in like this.
Uh-huh.
When are you going to California?
It's going to be about the 22nd of July.
How long are you planning to stay?
Until we get enough money to come back.
Get ready.
I told him until I got enough money to come back.
Come back in time to get ready.
When was the last time you flew anywhere?
What?
When's the last time you flew anywhere?
I haven't flown in for about 10 years. Yes, I have. I went to Florida about 4 years ago.
Even the weeks. 30 weeks.
It hadn't been that long. It was 2 years ago. Elma went down there and we flew back.
Did she fly down there? Or ride down with somebody?
Yeah, she flew down. We flew back. And Bob was that. Bob came, and he drove on up, but he already had a car loaded. We couldn't ride with him. So and Jeff was with us. So we flew back, and he got here the next day at 4 o'clock.
If
you try to play dumb what you know and act dumb, then
they don't like that. They catch on to that's what you're doing. She said the trick is to strike a happy medium, not know too much. But
where were you living and what were you doing when you got married back?
That's what I've got to try to do.
What was I doing?
Uh-huh.
Teaching school.
Where?
Sandy Bottom.
How long had you been teaching there?
Well, just that year. I taught 5 years and all. The last year I taught in Alabama, Troy, Alabama.
Did you keep teaching in Sandy Bottom for a while after you were married? Mm-hmm.
No, I went to Smith's school after that. That's up there near Tuttle's Mill, but the building's been burned since then. I taught 1 year before I was married over in Bucklesbury. And that building's been burned. And where Bessie Croom lives is where I taught at Sandy Bottom.
Oh, yeah. How many teachers were there?
Two. I taught with Mary Collar there. And let's see, when I was at Smith's, I had a Tillman girl. I believe her name was Tillman. And in Bucklesbury, I had a Sutton girl that lived over there.
I guarantee you, if it's Bucklesbury, it was a Sutton.
Yeah. And I forgot what the girl's name in Alabama was, but anyway, you wouldn't have known her. You remember Mary Collin? I know she's Mary Moore.
Yeah.
Where did you teach with Aunt Ethel at?
I didn't teach Aunt Ethel with Aunt Ethel. I went to school to her. She was my teacher. Yeah. She was boarding in our house, and that's where Charlie met her. And I helped him court a little. He had to leave and go to he had to go overseas during the First World War. And he was stationed over here for the first 6 months, so about that. I don't remember where he was stationed, because he went down to El Paso one time, went down to Texas. And he was somewhere close by, and he asked me to write a letter to somebody that's his superior, and ask if he could would be permitted to come home to visit his grandmother, who was very ill. She was very ill, okay, because she died. But I wrote the letter for him, and he went to see Ethel.
Your grandma was very ill when she didn't die, too.
Yeah, I was at Greenville when she died. I was over at school.
How much did you make when you were teaching over there?
Over where?
At Bubble Ferry.
About $65 a month. That was big money. I paid $12 a month room and board.
Who did you stay with?
Miss Fanny Elmore, Kent's mother.
Mm-hmm. I was telling somebody a while back about some of those adventures you had when you were in East Carolina, like when you were in the turnip patch or whatever it was.
When I was in the what?
In the turnip patch, wasn't it? When Dr. Wright caught you?
I went in the garden. I was on the way out. We'd sneak down there and get cantaloupes and things like that. And I had pockets in my dress.
Uh-huh.
Seemed me like I had a coat on, too. Two pockets in my coat and two in my dress. And I came walking out of the garden. There was a little dirt path down there, you know, a little road. And I had cantaloupes everywhere I could put one, you know. And Professor Wright comes driving through, you know. He looked at me and laughed. He knew just as good what I had. But he didn't say a thing. He just smiled and drew and went on.
Where was the garden?
It was, gosh, it'd be hard for me to tell you now. You remember where the infirmary was?
Uh-huh.
Where it still is, I guess.
It's still there, but it's not the infirmary now.
What is it?
I think it's alumni building or something.
But anyway, the dining room was somewhere in that same area. Mm-hmm. At that time.
Right beside it.
And they were sitting here like this. East dormitory over here and the west dormitory over here.
Uh-huh.
The administration building right here, that's where we went to classes. Well, there's a little path went down this way to the garden. Mm-hmm. And it was down in there where I met the professor.
And towards where the right circle is now.
Yeah.
Who was that that took such good care of you when you had the flu?
Took a picture on me.
No, took good care of you when you were in the infirmary.
Oh, that was Miss Beeman. She, you know, she's got, is there a gate or something named for her? Beeman Gate?
I believe it is.
But anyway, she was the nurse. The only one that had, and I was one of the first to get sick. And so they put me in the contagious ward. Well, by the next day, the contagious ward was running over, so they had to fill the rest of it up. And in a day or two, the whole west dormitory, the lower floor was full.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was getting sick. I know they turned my room into a hospital room. And the girls that were left able to wait on the others, they just closed the school and went. And the girls, we didn't have classes, in other words. The girls just waited on the sick. But we didn't lose a person. Everybody lived through it. I guess I'd been in the infirmary a couple of weeks before I began to get. I was delirious there for about 3 days, had pneumonia. And Ms. Beck was set up with me. She was matron. And she set up with me 3 nights and put kerosene rags on my chest. Evidently it did some good because I lived through it. And after after about 3 weeks, I got well enough that they let me get out and go to, back to my room, and everybody else was getting better. And so Lena was there, Lena Fordham. Mm-hmm. She had been just as sick as I had, and Amy Whitfield was there. A lot of people that I can't remember now, but anyway, Lena and I, they told us we could go home and stay for 2 or 3 weeks until we were recuperated and got strong enough to go back to school. So we, smart alecks, to save money, to pack our suitcases and start walking to the railroad station. We got about halfway there and we had to put the suitcases down and sit down on them and rest. And we sat there for a while that way, and we finally made it to the railroad station. But I had already notified Papa that we were coming, and so there was somebody there to meet us. And I stayed home, I think, about 3 weeks, and went back. Tab had been. She went for a little while, and she, for some reason, quit and went back home. And she took the flu the next year. She didn't have it that first year. And that's when she started having arthritis. Before she ever got well, she went into arthritis and got in the shape she's in now. Well, she wasn't as bad then as she is now because she had two children, Milton and Marvin. And after Marvin was born, she stayed in bed a year. And when she finally got able to get out of bed, she was like she is now. Her fingers and everything all curled up, and she was in terrible shape. Papa spent a fortune on the doctors trying to get her some help. And one of her legs was drawn back up, drawn right back up like this, you know. And she had to walk with a crutch. So somebody recommended the osteopath doctor. Well, he was desperate. He'd spent so much money already on nobody's head helped him. So he said, well, he'd give that a try. So he got Dr. Fitz. It must have been a German. It sounds like a German name. Anyway, he went out there and he massaged that leg till he got so she could stand on it and walk on it. And he got her so she could go, and she taught school 2 years after that.
She taught Buckles Berry too.
Then she got married, and that was the end of her. At least when Marvin was born, she got in the shape she's in now. She's never gotten it better. Dr. Davis was a doctor, and she gave her a big shot of penicillin when it first came out, you know. And like to kill her. She stayed in bed a year after she got that shot. And Trudy went over there one day, and she was so sore she couldn't hardly move. But Trudy, she'd get up and sit on the side of the bed, but Trudy got her on her feet. And she got behind her and put her hands under her elbows and told her to walk. And she started walking, and she walked all the way back to the kitchen. And after that, she kept on walking, little every day, until she got so she could walk well enough to keep house again, well enough to cook again. She never could keep house much. But I know now what a time she must have had from what pain I've had with this. If I exercise it much, I get so sore, I have to take a pain tablet this week. I can, you see how crooked they are?
Uh-huh.
I can keep playing with them, mashing them down. Until I can make them touch the table. It hurts. I do it once in a while, but I don't think it's helping any.
You'd have to do it the whole lot for it to do any good, and that would hurt too much.
I told the doctor, I said, all it's doing is making my hand hurt, so I have to take pain tablets. He didn't say whether to keep on doing it or not, so I quit. It'll kind of straighten them out, but they'll go right back. Gonna do them that way, it hurts now. I can bend them back so I can make them touch my hand.
Uh-huh.
But I can't do it this way. I don't know if I kept working with them, but these two are the ones that I would use the most, but they're no good. I can barely get them to touch. I can't pick up a thing with them.
Who was that that fell in the flagpole hole over there in East Carolina?
It did what?
They were digging a hole for the flagpole.
Oh, that was Miss Lewis. She fell in the hole.
Were they just walking across campus, or they'd been?
She and Miss Maupin. Miss Maupin was my pedagogy teacher, and Miss Lewis was music teacher. She taught. What kind of music was it? Folk songs and things like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you could teach it to your children and to your school children.
Mm-hmm.
But they had been somewhere that night and were walking across. They wanted to take a shortcut, get across the campus that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Miss Lewis found the hole. She went in head first. Miss Maupin had a fit. She began yelling for help. I had a picture of them for a long time, but I don't know where it is either.
Did you say you kept teaching for a while right after you were married?
I taught 2 years. I taught out at Smith's 1 year. And I taught it down in Alabama 1 year.
Then where'd you go?
Went to Miami. That was the end of my teaching.
You didn't ever teach down there?
No, they required 4 years college and I didn't have it.
What was Henry doing?
Selling real estate when we first went down there. But when that bubble busted, real estate went to nothing. He went on the police force. And he did that. Things were just going to pot. Everything went broke. They were putting people on the train and sending them back north for half price.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them for free.
Just to be rid of.
To get rid of them because they couldn't. They were down there and they couldn't get anything to eat. They were starving. That was during that depression when nobody up here had anything to eat either.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a little bit better off than they were down there. And there was nothing to do down there. There's no factories or anything, you know. And so they were sent back up north. But after that that storm in 1925, people flocked back down there, people like plumbers and electricians and people to repair, you know, and construction people. And I had a 10-room house. And I rented rooms. Some of them I had 5 cots in.
Mm.
And
how
I
much
rented
did you charge
rooms.
Them?
And I was paying $150 a month for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was renting the cots for $5 a week.
Mm.
But I was barely making ends meet. We finally left the house because the storm had just about ruined it. We were paying $200. And the storm took the roof off, blew the windows out, knocked all the plaster off. It got wet and fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And the chandeliers, just the plaster falling on those, it just they just crashed to the floor. Everything was in a mess. But we didn't have nowhere else to go, so we had to go back and stay over. We'd go over there during the day and put our mattresses out in the hot sun until they dried out enough we could sleep on them. And we slept in that house, I believe, about 2 weeks without a roof over it. Nothing but the upper floor.
Hope it didn't rain no more.
It didn't after it quit, after that storm passed over. And I had to help clean up the mess. It was, but they came down on the rent to 100. They found out we were going to move. They came down on the rent to $150. But we moved anyway. We found a house up in Miami and we moved up there. Eleanor remembers that house. It was right back of the Flagler Theater.
I don't remember much of that.
That's where we were living when Nanny died. I came home to the funeral while I was... Henry, after the hurricane, though, he went to Coral Gables and volunteered to help patrol the city. There were so many looters trying to steal everything they could put their hands on. He volunteered, and after things calmed down and got things under control, they offered him a job, and he took it. And he stayed with them. Well, it got so bad that I had to let some of the policemen go, and so they put him on the fire department for just a few, little while. And he went. He ran for constable, and won. He won that, and that's what he's doing when he died.
What had he done between the time that he was selling real estate and the time he became a policeman?
I was taking in boarders. That's how we were living. He was looking a job, but there's nothing to be had.
How long did that last?
Let's see. The storm came in. We went down there in 1925. And things were pretty good for about 6 months, I guess. And then September 25th, I believe it was, we had that. No, it was in 1925. I don't remember. It was in September. It's when we had the bad storm.
Those pictures of the storm must be in that album you can't find. Haven't seen many of them. I know you used to have
them. Yeah. I had a bunch of them. And I don't know where the rest of them are. But it was a rough time down there. We had to buy water in 5 gallon demijohns. It's none to drink, none to take a bath in. You had to go to the ocean if you want to take a bath. And it was salty. And the Miami River backed right up to our back door almost, but it was salty too. I don't know, we had such a mess down there. People would go buy truckloads of bananas, and you could buy bananas 5 cents a pound.
Too expensive, huh, Ma?
Yeah.
When did y'all get into the beach business?
I don't remember exactly what year it was. It was pretty soon after that storm, though. Trudy went back to Florida with us. What year was that you went down there, Trudy?
29.
Well, we were already running it then because we had a storm while we were up here. And we drove back through it all the way to Savannah. And we got the tables and chairs and everything out in the Everglades. The wind had blown them out there. And Trudy was trying to help pick up some of the stuff and put it back on the beach, and she was mired up in that muck, clean up to her hips, and she said, "To hell with it." So she quit. It cost us about $5,000 to replace the furniture and make repairs.
Did y'all actually own the beach, or were you renting it or leasing it?
We were renting it from the Deering Estate. The Biltmore Hotel used to own it. When they were going full swing, they didn't last very long, but they started it. And they'd take their guests down there to swim, and it was a lagoon that went out shaped kind of like this. Mm-hmm. And over here where the water came in, the dolphin and the sharks and things could come right on in too. So we put a steel wire across there, barricade. And when those dolphins hit it, it was just simply too bad. It would knock a hole right through it. Hmm. And we'd have to dynamite the lagoon. The fish would all come floating to the top, we'd skim them off and put another net in. And every time we did that, it was $60. I said a dolphin, it was a porpoise, what we call a porpoise. There's a difference, I think. You could see those old black things rolling out there in the bay. Looked like they were just rolling over and over this way, you know, and they can travel at a terrific rate of speed.
How often did you have to do that?
Just depend how often one of them decided to hit that net. We had a regatta down there, a sailboat regatta one day. And that was real pretty. We had everybody just about, we had a prize, you know, for the winner. And I took in $1,000 at the gate that day when admission was 25 cents.
That must have been that picnic that you were talking about.
No, it was that boat regatta.
Now, who was that you were talking about selling the Coca-Cola to a while ago?
Al Capone.
How much did you charge him for it?
10 cents. I was racketeering. I didn't know it until after I'd sold him a Coca-Cola.
Who told you?
The lifeguard. He came up and he said, "Do you know who you just sold a Coca-Cola to?" I said, "No, I don't have any idea." He said, "It was Al Capone." And I said, "Oh, hell." I think he was looking it over to see whether it was worth coming back to or not. Yeah, but he had a woman with him. Might have been out just sightseeing, but he didn't see much.
Was it down there where you saw Lindbergh?
That was at Hialeah. Well, it was all in the Miami area. I saw Amelia Earhart at Hialeah.
I know that.
And Lindbergh was blazing the trail for the Pan American Airways to South America. Uh-huh. I saw him take off from Hialeah, and we were there and saw him come back. And it was not too long after that when his baby was kidnapped. Well, now, wait a minute, I don't believe he was married right at that time. He might have been, but don't remember. But it wasn't too long after that. He either got married, I know the baby was born and kidnapped before Henry ever died.
Uh-huh. What was Amelia Earhart doing down there?
They were always having air shows, and she was down there showing her bit.
Y'all
realize that it was bad for us out there for 6.
Wonder if it's
been recording.
It better be.
Is it set for a recording?
Yep.
Yeah, I should have to make it that new day.
Well, we'll leave it that way.
Let's see what we got. While we're telling this thing stuff, what's your full name?
Rebecca Croom Fordham.
Never had a middle name?
No, Rebecca's all the name anybody needs.
How about Tab?
Tab's all the name. Tabitha.
And that's enough, it's not too much, huh?
No.
Yeah.
She didn't like hers either.
She's got a middle name, didn't
you? You know what Papa named Trudy?
What?
90.
90?
She was the ninth kid.
We should look at my purse. You got too big. I got so much.
What's your middle name, Ellen?
Marie.
Ellen Marie. My impression is Trudy don't care much for Gertrude, but...